We sang number 325, and the third stanza is this: "Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time." That's my message this morning: Christ, our hope. I didn't tell the song leader what I was going to speak on, but someone or somebody must have whispered in his ear. Will you turn with me to 1 Timothy? And we're just going to read a few verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. We're going to stop right there, because that's the clause that I'm going to use for my message. As you know, it is believed that 1 Timothy and Titus were written by Paul after his release of 2 years in prison in Rome. It was written during the time that he was allowed yet to revisit the churches of Asia Minor and establish a new church in Crete. And during his time, he wrote 1 Timothy and Titus. 2 Timothy was written during his second imprisonment, from which he was released to go through the gates of splendor into the presence of his Lord Jesus Christ as a martyr for Jesus. As most of you know, Timothy was a young man living at Lystra when Paul found him there, well recommended of the brethren. And Paul recognized his value and selected him to be his companion on his missionary journeys. And he became more than a companion. He became like a son. And this letter of 1 Timothy is written to one who is like a son. And he advises him and admonishes him like a father with a son. But this morning we're only concerned with that first verse. Paul, an apostle, one sent by another, apostolos. A good word to translate it would be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. By the commandment. Literally the word means by the order or authority of God our Savior. We don't usually think of God being the Savior, but everything originates with God. And I think of the words that Jesus spoke in John when he said, "I can say nothing and do nothing except I hear it from the Father." Our salvation began with the love of the Father for us, a love that caused him to send his Son, his only Son, his beloved Son, to die for our sins. And he says he received his apostleship from God the Savior and from the Lord Jesus, our hope. What a wonderful word that word hope is. We have it expressed in our songs. But what a devastating word. The word hopeless is. I remember being in a hospital room some years ago. And they didn't have MRIs then, but they hadn't. They had just been using the TC scan. And two doctors were consulting and looking at the tests. And in a way that I think was very poor, they said to one another, "It's hopeless. It's hopeless." The woman they were talking about was unconscious, but I discovered people who are unconscious can sometimes hear. I think it was very poor taste for them to, very unprofessional for them to speak in her presence, but I heard it, and a family heard it. And that word hopeless is the most devastating word in the English language. In contrast, the word hope lifts our spirits and expands our expectations. And we can say, without hope, a person or a people perishes. A hopeless person is truly a desperate person. Did you know that the word desperatum and the word desperate have the same root in Latin? And a hopeless person is a desperate person. It is hope that keeps people going, whether it be in business, or in the home, or in school, or even in a church congregation. It is hope that keeps people going in every human endeavor. Yet as great the hope, the word hope is, as we use it in everyday language, yet the hope of the Christian is far more wonderful than the hope of the world. I'm going to have my message in two parts. The first is Christian hope explained or defined. And the second, Christian hope expanded. And we'll ask the question, what is the Christian's hope? What does he hope for? Hope defined or explained. What is the significance of the word hope as it's used in the Bible? When I say I hope it won't rain tomorrow, I express a wish or a desire. But it's not a certainty. It's something I desire, something I wish, but it's something over which I have no control at all. I hope it won't rain tomorrow. Or we might say, I hope it will rain tomorrow because of the dry spell we're having. But it's only a desire. It's nothing that is certain. It's something we have no control over. I might say, and I've said it, I hope to be in Jersey with my son Dave in June. Again, this is an expression of expectation, but it has some doubt. If things go as I plan them, as I expect them to go, and nothing goes wrong, I'll probably be in New Jersey with my son Dave in June. For you see, we planned last year that I would spend 2.5 or 3 months with him this coming summer. But we don't know for sure. I hope to be there if things go well with his surgery and his chemotherapy. I probably will be there. But there's a doubt there. In human hope, there was always doubt and uncertainty and contingency. But in contrast to the uncertainty and the contingency implied in our customary use of the word hope, the biblical use of the word expresses a certainty, something that is absolutely sure. For Christian hope is not based upon man's ability or upon man's circumstances, but is based upon the character of God Himself. It's based upon what and who God is. And we ask ourselves then, what is God like? For we have to know what God is like if our hope is to be certain. And Christian hope is certain. First, I think that God is faithful. He is dependable. God cannot lie. You know that if God ever told a fib, He'd cease to be God. That's right. For the God of the Bible is dependable. He doesn't deceive or mock us. God is faithful, who has promised, is what the book of Hebrews tells us in the 11th chapter. God is faithful. As we were studying Nehemiah, the clause came out in that great prayer that's in that book. In that prayer, they confessed their sins and they confessed God's faithfulness. This is said, God will keep His word because He is righteous. Yes. God is faithful. And then God is able. We say that God is omnipotent. We say that God can do anything if it's in harmony with His character. You see, God cannot lie. God cannot deceive. God cannot act falsely or unrighteously. For God is truth. And God is faithful. So God can do anything that's in harmony with His character. There is nothing too hard for God. And again in the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter, read the words that are attributed to Abraham. He considered that God is able to raise even from the dead. God is able. And then God is wise. He's infinite in wisdom. He doesn't make any mistakes. He knows the beginning from the end. He sees the start and the finish. He chooses the right goals and the proper means to achieve those goals. And then God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. There is nothing hid from the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And then we now speak of God as unchangeable. The word that is sometimes used is immutable. It only means that He's the same always. He is without variableness or shadow of turning. And we could speak of God's holiness, His exalted position high above all the sin and corruption and deceit of this world. He is absolutely holy. God is holy. And I love to think of God's holiness, because that lifts him up above. He transcends all the faults, all the weaknesses, all the things that mar mankind. He transcends them, for he is holy. He is exalted above them. And then we could speak of his goodness. Righteousness is holiness is in action. In action toward man. But we could speak of his goodness, which includes his love. We spoke so much and sang so much of the love of God this morning at the first service. We could speak of his patience. And oh, how patient God is. He is long-suffering toward us. Patient toward us. Not judging us according to our iniquities, but forgiving us our sins. We could speak of his kindness and his mercy and his forgiveness. Our God is a great God. Our God is a wonderful God. My God is a great God. And how often I think of him in all his greatness, in all his goodness, in all his holiness, in all his love, in all his faithfulness. That's the kind of God we have. Christian hope is related to faith or trust in God. Faith looks at what and who God is and says, I know I can trust him. Faith is a strong persuasion that God is able to perform and will perform what he has promised. Hope looks to the future and says, because I know who and what my God is, I have confidence. I know that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. In the book of Hebrews, in the 6th chapter, the writer, in order to show the unchangeableness and the reliability of God, speaks of God confirming his promises to Abraham with an oath. An oath sworn not by something else or somebody else, but an oath sworn on his own character. An oath sworn on what he is and who he is. And then he adds this, in order that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement who have fled for refuge in laying hold of the hope. In laying hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have as an anchor to the soul. A hope both sure and steadfast, which entereth in within the veil, where Jesus Christ has entered for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Three times in that verse, he uses the word hope. And our hope is based upon the character of God himself. Hope in the Bible never says maybe, perhaps, if things go as expected, no hope, says, I know, I'm sure, it sings the great Amen. So be it. Amen. So be it. And when God promises something, when God states something, when God reveals something to us, whether it be concerning our salvation, or whether it be concerning heaven itself, we can say, Amen. So be it. For what He says is based upon His character, who and what He is. And my God can never lie and never deceive. That's the kind of God I have. Now let's, for a few moments, speak of the Christian hope expanded, asking a question: what hope do we have as Christians? And we can only touch a few things. And the first thing that came to my mind, and it's only natural that it should, we have hope of eternal life. Titus 1:3. In hope of eternal life, which God prepared before the foundation of the world. In hope of eternal life, which God promised before the foundation of the world. And then in 3:7 of Titus, but that being justified by His grace, we may be heirs of eternal life according to our hope. We may meet our text, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope of eternal life. And my friends, that's the teaching of God's Word. For eternal life is not something we get. It's not a thing. Eternal life is somebody we get, we receive. And that's in keeping with the teaching of God's Word. For eternal life is a person, the divine Son of God. He is the eternal life. John wrote in 1 John 1:1, we proclaim to you the eternal life who was with the Father and now is manifest to us. When a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ, that person has the eternal life as a present possession, not something he gets in the future. For the eternal life is Jesus Himself, the eternal Son of God. How do I know that I have the eternal life? I know because by faith I have received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, the life of the risen one. The Lord Jesus Christ is now my life. And isn't that wonderful? The eternal life who was with the Father and now is revealed to us. This is what John says. That eternal life is now my life. I have the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I have more than that. I have more than eternal life. For the eternal life includes all that He is. His power, His love, His knowledge. For the life of Christ is now mine. This is the teaching of the Scripture. The Apostle Paul prayed not only once in Ephesians, but also in Colossians, that the church, the believers, might be filled with the power of God, that same power that raised Him from the dead, the eternal life that was with the Father, is now manifest to us. And when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord, I receive all that He is as my own. John wrote, "He who has the Son has the life." Not just life. I listened to a part of a program on the television last night, a very short part of it, and the preacher was talking about the life that a baby has. And he said that this is the life that people get when they believe in Jesus Christ. I hope he made a mistake. I hope he got his words wrong. Because the life that I have as a baby and the life that I have as a human being is not the eternal life that was with the Father. It is the life that is condemned and corrupt. And we need the eternal life that was with the Father. John said, "He who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son does not have life." You see, there's no in-between. Apart from Jesus Christ, there is no life eternal. He is our life, our assurance of eternal life. And what people need is a new life. You know that the world for generations has been trying to dress up and paint up and wash clean the life that we're born with. But it doesn't work. What the world needs, what humanity needs, is the eternal life that was with the Father. And this is the hope that we have. The hope of eternal life. And that hope is not something that's uncertain. That hope is as sure as the throne of God in the heavens. For it's based on the very character of God. Jesus said, "He who has the Son has life." And I believe it. I've experienced it, and I know it's true. I have the eternal life. And then we have the hope of the glory of God. In Romans, the 5th chapter, that great statement about justification. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In all whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And then he has this. And we result, we exult in hope of the glory of God. As I said before, the word translated exult is best described by a ice hockey game when someone makes the goal. And you've seen it. They jump up with joy with their hands up in the air. That's the word exult. We exult, we jump with joy, we're elated in hope of the glory of God. What is the glory of God here? It's not a halo around our heads. I'm not anxious to have a halo around my head. But the glory of God is the character of God of being like Jesus. In hope of being like Jesus. In Colossians, Paul says, "Christ in you. The eternal life in you. The hope of glory." If you ask an unsaved person, what is your chief goal in life? What do you desire more than anything else? And you'll receive answers like this. To become financially independent. To own a house. To have a family. To be happy. To own a big boat. Those are the things we have. And that's what the world wants. However, if we ask the same question of Peter, or John, or Paul, or James, and I trust if we ask the same question of you and of me, the answer would be different. It'd be something like this. I believe Paul would say, to be like Jesus is what I want. Or he might put it this way, to glorify God in my body, for me to live is Christ. And he would probably say, the Lord Jesus is my hope of glory. He would say, I'm overwhelmed with the expectation of being like Jesus. I press on to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, a person begins to be a Christian when he receives Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. But he increasingly becomes a child of God as that new life, the eternal life that he has because he's received Christ who is the life, takes over and controls his living, changing his life goals and changing his lifestyle. How do I know that I have eternal life? I know because I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I know that I have the eternal life because I see some things changing in my life. The eternal life is taking hold. And the Holy Spirit is changing me. Something has happened to me since I gave my heart to Jesus. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians wrote something like this. But we with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being changed from glory to glory as by the Lord's Spirit. We're being changed from character to character. There's an increase in our likeness to Jesus Himself. Yes, I know that I have eternal life. I know because in my heart of hearts I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I know I have eternal life because there's been a change in my life. A change in values. A change in lifestyle. A change in things I desire. It's a change in things I value. I value things differently than I did before. And I think this is the way I can know that I have eternal life. And then the last thing, and I hurry on. We have the hope of resurrection. I just have time to mention it. In Acts 23, Paul testified to the Jewish leaders, I am on trial for the hope of the resurrection of the dead. Jesus said, because I live, you too shall live. He proclaimed himself the resurrection and the life, that whosoever lives and believes in him should not perish, should never die. Christian loved ones who have left us, who have deceased. I'm trying not to use the word died. I'm not dead. They've just changed location. They're alive with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the Bible tells us that even their bodies, as our bodies shall be, if we decease before the coming of Christ, that even their bodies shall be raised and changed, and the corruptible shall put on incorruption, and they'll receive a body like the glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The life that we received in Christ, the life that develops in us in Christ, that life can never die. It is the eternal life, the life of the eternal Son of God. Jesus Christ, our hope, our assurance of resurrection. He is our life. He is our glory. He is our resurrection. And He has guaranteed it all by His own resurrection from the dead. His victory over death and sin. And now He lives as our High Priest and our Advocate in the heavenlies. Jesus Christ is our hope, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters in within the veil, where Jesus Christ, our forerunner, has gone, a High Priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Christ Jesus, our hope. Do you have this hope? Do you have Jesus? Our hope, the Christian hope, is as sure, as certain, as the very throne of God in the heavenlies. Christ Jesus, our hope. And if this morning there's someone here who has never received by faith the eternal life that was with the Father, but now has been manifest to us in His incarnation. Yes, He came as a babe in a manger, but He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And He walked among mankind doing great deeds and speaking great words. And finally, as His destiny was, He was crucified on the cross of Calvary. He did it that He might become our hope. Our hope of eternal life. Our hope of glory. Our hope of resurrection. Have you received Jesus Christ, the eternal life, as your Lord and Savior? If not, will you do it this morning, this Sunday morning, this Lord's Day morning? Father, we thank You for Your Word. But we thank You especially for the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal life that was with the Father from all eternity. And in due time, in the fullness of time, was manifest to us. Thank You, Lord, for giving Your Son to die for my sins. Thank You for revealing Yourself to me in such a wonderful way. Thank You for dying for my sins and for the sin of the world. Father, cause Your Word empowered to reach into the hearts and minds of your people and of those who know you not. We pray in Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen.